This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, let's welcome in the voice of the Dallas Mavericks, Chuck Cooperstein. After the Mavs get another dominant victory, they win 13 out of their last 16, and we look ahead to tomorrow's Christmas Day action after the beatdown of the Trailblazers. It's the G-Bag Nation, Eric Chiafalo, alongside the Super Bowl-winning scout Brian Broaddus, Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup, and Carter Freeman's running the fan cam Twitch and YouTube. Great to have you in. Merry Christmas, everybody, as we welcome in Mr. Chuck Cooperstein. Chuck, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah. How the heck are you, man?
It's all good. Couldn't be a whole lot better in Mavs land right now.
Yeah. Things are coming together nicely, very nicely. Last night was super impressive. I mean, they just tear up these Trailblazers. That's what they do. But everything's clicking right now. The health of Luka, no question about whether he plays tomorrow, right?
No. I mean, he's back. And I mean, I haven't seen the injury report for today, but it's not like he was taxed or anything like that last night. And, you know, he played 30 minutes, which is, again, well below his average. And that's all well and good. It's part of the real strength of this team that there is incredible depth. You know, for years, it's always been talked about, well, we've got depth. We can do this and we can do that. And then, you know, you get toward the end of the season, you try to pare down your rotation, you know, to 8.5, you know, maybe 9. And you know who those players are. Well, you know, here, you don't know who those players are. Yeah. And it really could come down to, you know, who they're playing at a particular time, the players that are in the rotation. And it's a wonderful problem for Jason Kidd to have.
Chuck, is there a thought, and you were talking about the depth, does Jason Kidd play with the lineup in a way of when guys are available and guys are not available, that maybe that we might see with, you know, with Kyrie and Luka both being out of a game at the same time and seeing how those rotations and stuff work? I mean, would he take the season to do things like that?
Well, we saw that the other night.
Yeah.
That didn't go very well.
No.
You know, and so I can't imagine them doing that on purpose.
Okay.
Unless you get the game 81 and 82 and everything's already decided.
Sure.
And that's what happened last year, you know, against Detroit and Oklahoma City at the end of the year. And it didn't matter. And so they sat those guys out. But if there is anything to play for, I can't imagine, unless they're both injured,
right,
that they won't play. And then, so you're going to have at least one of those guys.
Yeah, it just seems like to me that this coaching staff is such attention to detail in the way that they operate and stuff like that. And they're like no stone unturned type of a group. So I just didn't know if that they're like, listen, you know, tonight let's think about this, or let's think about with the way the schedule plays out for you sometimes.
Well, I think, again, you look at a team like the Clippers, whose record isn't particularly good, but they did go into Memphis and win last night.
Yeah, they did.
They did beat the Mavericks in one of the two games in Dallas. I mean, they're the type of team, you know, they're probably going to make the playoffs. They're athletic and long, and they've got some bulk in the middle. It's hard to score against them. It really is. And, you know, the Mavericks didn't score easily against them in either one of those games. Even with Luka, you know, coming back, or right. Luka, you know, well, Kyrie was back. Luka was out for both of those games. But when they didn't play, that was a disaster waiting to happen. I mean, it's one thing to have depth, and depth is a wonderful thing, especially in the regular season.
Right.
But it's not like you're just wanting to play with food just to play with food. Right. Okay, that's not a good thing, especially when you do know that as things are as tight as they are, and you see where the Mavericks are in relation to Houston and Memphis in the standings right now.
Right.
I mean, you've got to make sure at the very least you have a top four seed, and preferably you'd like to be in the top two or three so that you can avoid the top seed, likely to be Oklahoma City, for as long as you possibly can.
Chuck, are you more surprised of, well, Houston forever, it seems like, always had young talent, but not the coach to go along with it. And I mean, no disrespect to the coaches that have been there before, but now they have that. Are you more surprised by where they are or where Minnesota is?
That's a good question, Brian.
Because Minnesota's 10th.
In fairness to Steven Silas,
yeah,
who was there before Ime
exactly,
Udoka,
yeah.
He was given a bunch of AAU players.
Sure.
He was not given Fred VanVleet,
right,
and Dylan Brooks to bring a sense of professionalism to them. And Steven Adams too, for that matter. So, you know, that's, I really hate, because Steven Silas is my neighbor, quite frankly,
right
here, and I'm good friends with him, and he's a hell of a coach, he really,
yeah,
is, but he was not given the means by which to succeed. Having said that, Ime Udoka is a hell of a coach, and he has Dylan Brooks and you know, Fred VanVleet to execute his mindset that then translates to, you know, other guys, and, you know, like guys like Tari Eason and Amen Thompson, guys you don't even talk about, right? But they're unbelievable. Okay, they're unbelievably athletic, and they're a pain in the butt to play, as we saw when the Mavericks played them very early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really looking forward to next week on New Year's night, when most of the world's going to be watching football and watching the Sugar Bowl between Notre Dame and Georgia. You know, I'm going to be in Houston watching the Mavericks play the Rockets, and it's going to be a hell of a game. It really is. But Minnesota, you know, they made a big trade, and sometimes it works, like it did with the Mavericks last year, okay? Sometimes it doesn't work, like with the Mavericks when they got Kyrie. You know, it didn't work right away, not necessarily because he and Luka didn't work, but it just, the team just never quite got together. And it seems like Minnesota, you know, their defense is still really good. Like, their last 10 games, they're the best defensive team in the NBA right now, and they were the best defensive team last year, but they can't score. Their offense is just all messed up. I mean, they're working on a streak now of, I want to say it's something like 10 straight games where they have not even scored 110 points. And in the NBA today, that's almost impossible to do. So there are some real issues there that they've got to get figured out. It's not easy for them because, frankly, you know, Randall plays differently than Towns, and that changes the spacing on the floor. And Mike Conley, as much as I have loved him through the years, he's gotten old, and they don't have a legitimate backup point guard. They don't have anybody who can go get them a bucket, other than Anthony Edwards, who is now having to do all kinds of things and doing different things. He's shooting a bunch of threes, not driving the ball anymore. They're kind of messed up. I mean, they've lost three games in a row here, got beat by Atlanta last night, and the games before that against New York and Golden State, they've been smacked in all three of those games. You know, they're all over the place right now. Houston is definitely not.
No, Houston's pretty legit right now, for sure. It's Chuck Cooperstein, radio voice of the Mavericks, with us here on The Fan. Where would you like to see the Mavs start to improve here, other than just remaining healthy, building that continuity? What areas of the team need to be improved as you start looking ahead towards the rest of the season?
Well, I mean, I think the backup four probably needs some looking at now, you know, whether that is already on the roster with Kleba and Prosper, or whether they feel the need toward the deadline to try to find another person, you know, who can fill that backup role better behind PJ Washington. That, you know, that's something I think that can be looked at. I think, you know, just from an overall standpoint, they've been a little loose with the basketball over the last month, a little bit better the last couple of games, but they really just need to sort of buckle down. They've been looking for a lot of those home run passes to try to beat the defense down the floor so you're not playing against a set defense. And sometimes discretion is the better part of valor. And rebounding is always going to be an issue. And they've been playing a bunch of teams here lately that are really good offensive rebounding teams. And they've been hurt a bit because of that. And that's, you know, just something that, you know, I think, you know, when you have Luka back at full strength, that really solves a lot of the problems because he is such a good rebounder from the perimeter. So, yeah, I think that can definitely help too. So there isn't really a lot, I think, that they've got to worry about, you know, given not only their record, but how they played, where they pretty well dominated people.
Is Kyrie even better than he was last year?
I'm sorry?
Is Kyrie even better than he was last year?
Kyrie's been sensational. And I tell you that where you don't maybe appreciate Kyrie so much, and you saw it against James Harden the other night, and you saw it last night when Jeremy Grant was trying to post him up and try to play bully ball with him.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Down the block, when Kyrie wants to guard, you know, and he's really, you know, he's being challenged by people. I mean, he's going to get his chest into you, and he's going to make it hard. And that he's doing it in game 28 of the season, as opposed to, you know, just waiting until the playoffs to start doing it, is a great sign. And obviously, Luka's defense has been so much better this year. And not that it was ever really as bad as people wanted to make it out to be, and especially, you know, with what happened in the finals. But he's much better on that end this year. And I do think that, you know, if your best player is going to try and play the way they're playing, then that's going to pretty much trickle down to everybody else on the roster. And they're going to try and do the same thing.
Chuck, when I was working with Bill Parcells, and the one thing he always was talking to us about was, you know your team by Thanksgiving. You understand. Where's the NBA point of you know your basketball team? Is there a date for that? Is there basketball folks say, hey, you'll know your team at this time?
Well, most teams will say basically from 25 to 30 games. But there's always the caveat of the trade deadline.
Right.
And what do you do with the trade deadline? Football, it doesn't really work that way. I mean, it's better now in football than it was as far as acquiring difference-making players. But even at that level, there are so many other players in football that have to play in order for the team to win, that unless you were getting, you know, a franchise quarterback, I don't know what material difference, you know, making a trade week 10 of the season is going to make. In the NBA, generally speaking, even at the trade deadline and afterward, there are very few trades that ultimately become difference makers. You know, you may improve on the margins, but there's nothing that really, or rarely, that materially changes your team. Last year was obviously the exception with the Mavericks, because right, their two trades clearly changed everything. But I would say, generally speaking, 30 games into the season, you pretty well know who you are. So that's basically about 38% of the season.
Chuck Cooperstein with us here on The Fan. Chuck, obviously a lot of conversation just generally around the NBA right now with the ratings down and people are trying to change the game, too much three-point shooting. Well, what are your thoughts on all that?
Well, I mean, I don't mind three-point shooting at all, as long as the guys taking three-pointers are the ones who are capable of making it. You know, there's a lot of times when, you know, teams will come down and be three-on-one, and in the past, you know, the ball handler was getting it to the foul line, the guys are running the wing, and they're going to the basket, and you're throwing a pass, and they're shooting a layup. Well, now they're flaring out to shoot a three, and I'm not sure that's always the best play. But having said that, I mean, the players are significantly more skilled than they've ever been. They really are. I mean, despite what the naysayers would say. But I mean, I look at a team like the Mavericks and, you know, you compare them to last year. They take fewer threes than they've ever taken. And their threes are better, quite frankly, because they're doing so much damage in the paint and at the rim that there's so much space now for them to shoot. And they got a whole bunch of shooters on their team who can make three-pointers and make them at a better than NBA average clip that, you know, you should wind up taking them. So you should wind up taking about, you know, 35 threes a game. That does seem to be, you know, the right number for this particular team to take. You know, there was a great article that was out this morning kind of just tried to, and I posted it on Twitter, explaining, you know, how, while, you know, the results may be, you know, where they are, that there are so many different ways that teams use to get to that particular point that, you know, those who say, well, the game, everybody's doing the same thing all the time, but just jacking up threes. There's a lot of intricacy in how that works. You know, I think the players are great. And I do think that the game is great. I think the officiating could be better. Mm. I mean, clearly, I think it could be better. I pretty much believe we can probably say that in all sports.
Yes.
But I do think the NBA has an issue that they really do need to deal with and don't put their head in the sand. I'm not sure they're doing the best job they could in that area. The issue of load management is something that is never going to go away, I think, and it does turn people off, and they should be turned off by it. I mean, you can talk about how the game is so spread out and it's more difficult to defend than it ever was before. Well, then you just got to prepare for it. And maybe I'm too simplistic in that way, but to me, you know, you owe it to the fan base that's paying a really good price for their ticket, let alone whoever is going to watch the game on TV, that if you can play, you should play. And then, you know, you do have the TV issue, and the TV issue is a major one because it's almost as if the NBA has made it harder for fans to watch their teams. You know, with blackouts on League Pass and, you know, the new contract coming up that's going to send a whole bunch of stuff to streaming. I don't know if this is the best long-term strategy for the NBA, but they obviously believe that it is. And I guess starting next year, we're about to find out.
Chuck, before we let you go here, you've always been my voice of reason when it comes to college athletics. Your impressions of, and not so much how the games were played, but how did you feel like the first weekend with the 12 teams involved? How did that go for you?
It was spectacular. Oh my God. I've been dreaming of this ever since I started watching college football, which is basically about 50 years ago. Right.
And
it was incredible to see a late December game at Notre Dame.
Right.
And I think the fact that the tournament began at Notre Dame just lent a greater aura to it than it already had. Mm. You know, and you're at State College and you're at Ohio State, you know, and you're at Texas. It's my goodness. If you're a college football fan, you just have to can't get enough of it. It was, as far as I was concerned. And I know, you know, the NFL put two games on Saturday and, you know, one of them, the Steelers and Ravens, is arguably the best rivalry that the NFL has right now.
Unbelievable, yeah.
And I had absolutely no interest in watching that game. None whatsoever. And I'll admit, my college and NFL leanings are pretty much 50-50, maybe even a little more toward the college game than the NFL. I'm the French Foreign Legion when it comes to the NFL. I have no dog in the fight.
Right.
You know, once the Jets moved to the Meadowlands, I was done with them, and that was the end of it. But I can't imagine how great it was. I mean, I thought it would be. It was even better. The reality was better than the dream. And then, you know, you get to the next round, and frankly, I think it's a bit of a letdown by going to the bowl sites.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, it's like they basically need there are two things that need to happen. Obviously, they need to seed honestly. You know, you win the conference, that gets you in the tournament. That's fine. That's great. Mm-hmm. But you don't deserve a top four seed just because you won your conference. You got to seed it honestly, and then you have to reseed after every round, so that your top seed, whoever the committee decides the top seed is going to be, that top seed is protected. And that should happen, you know, and it does happen pretty much at all levels of sport, except really for the NBA, which is really kind of nuts when you think about it. But you do those two things and then ultimately get to a point where everything is on campus until the championship game. And you have a college Super Bowl, you know, look, the NFL is a $25 billion a year business. You can learn from this. There's something that they must be doing right. And there's nothing wrong for college football to emulate what the NFL has done as far as the seeding of the playoffs and playing the playoffs. And then ultimately, you know, having a Super Bowl, say on a Saturday night, someplace that, you know, because college football is meant to be played on Saturday, and that would absolutely be bonkers. It would be spectacular.
Well, Chuck, you're a super beast, man. Can't thank you enough for the time. Happy holidays to you, and enjoy the game tomorrow.
Appreciate you guys. Take care. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah.